Summer Flings and Dancing Dreams by Sue Watson and read by Mary Woodvine for Saga Egmont. Prologue.
But Mum, why? She asked, her face looking into mine, tears spilling down oyster satin, bridal bouquet flung to the four winds.
No one was there to catch it.
I don't know, love. What could I say?
My heart was lying with hers on the cold church steps.
He seemed fine yesterday. What happened in the last 24 hours?
I looked into her eyes and shook my head. I had nothing to offer her. No plaster to cover the greys, no ice cream to sweeten the bitter taste left in her mouth. All I could think was, how will we ever get over this? And in the middle of my daughter's devastation came the unbidden thought, would I still have to pay for the fucking finger buffet? I hugged her. This wasn't about the wedding, not even about the controversial buffet at £20 per head to be served at 10 p.m. on the off chance that some greedy sod would still be hungry after the £60 per head dinner at 5 p.m. Nor was it about the silk dress costing 3 months' salary, the perfect cake covered in fresh roses to match the perfectly pale-scented bouquets and table arrangements. Oh, the table arrangements. It was March, so roses apparently had to be imported from Kenya, and though I insisted Sophie had everything she wanted, I couldn't help wonder if it would have been cheaper to fly there first class and collect them myself.
What do we do now? She asked.
I didn't mention the obvious, which was that we could make a start on eating that finger buffet for 500. I didn't know what to say. I ripped off my powder blue fascinator and we gazed out at the church garden, like the answer lay somewhere among the vicar's host of golden daffodils. The magnolia was almost over. Waxy white petals lay on the ground, huge overblown blooms too beautiful to last longer than a week or two. Is that what happened to Sophie and Alex? Was it all too beautiful to last? We'd certainly aimed for beauty and perfection with this wedding. As a single mum, I was determined to pay for the wedding with overtime at the supermarket where I worked and late shifts. Constant saving and scrimping on everything had paid for the dress, the flowers, and the reception. Then, just when I thought it was safe, the vicar had wanted his cut. Can you believe it? Even God was on the wedding bandwagon these days. My desire to give Sophie the best of everything apparently gave people the impression I was the wealthy mother of the bride, sparing no expense at her only daughter's special day. This was all true, except the wealthy bit. Nothing was too much. No night shift too long, no sacrifice too great. Our Sophie's wedding would be the best day of her life, and probably mine too. After years of struggling as a single mum, watching her walk down that aisle into the arms of a doctor would be my proudest moment. And until about 20 minutes before, she was the glowing, beautiful bride I'd always dreamed she'd be. The beautifully fitting gown in a delicate nude shade warmed her pale complexion, enhanced her lovely figure, and made her long blonde hair glow in the spring sunshine. I looked at Sophie, my beautiful only child, now 24. She would have all the things I never had. Sophie, my torchbearer, taking her life into a world I couldn't even contemplate with her law degree and junior doctor fiancé. Sophie would have the detached home in that leafy suburb and blonde, Bowden-clad children. My daughter would enjoy holidays by a foreign sea and her own career, her own life, and even in all this, she'd enjoy financial freedom. I'd never believed the magazines of my youth that said you could have it all, but perhaps the fairy tale was finally coming true for my daughter's generation. If both parents had a career, the odds were good that they would achieve the freedom and independence that money brought with it. Money had always been a problem for me. It had never come easy. Even as a child, we'd lived on very little. My dad, the eternal optimist, had an unhealthy relationship with money, and I'd vowed to live differently. Nothing was too good for my daughter, and I'd made sure she was never short of anything, even if that was sometimes difficult. But I knew education was the key, and would bring her a life neither me nor my parents had, and encouraged her to work hard at school. I was also keen to give motherly advice about boyfriends. There was a slight glitch around 2007 when she brought home an unemployed musician.